Whenever I read about the problems caused by house sparrows, European starlings, or rock pigeons, I wonder why we haven't learned the lesson that introducing species virtually always works out badly for someone in the long run. From Burmese pythons in the Florida Everglades to the mosquitoes in Hawaii that decimated native humans and birds, invasive exotics cause all kinds of serious ecological problems, and often ones that affect human health or harm things we value. Some introduced species turn out to be worse than others, and the impact of a single species often depends on the local habitat and wildlife community. House sparrows that are not much trouble at all in big cities are a horrible scourge anywhere bluebirds live. Pigeons are a nuisance and, rarely, a public health menace for humans, but they don't seem to have much impact on wild birds except to provide food for urban peregrine falcons. We usually think of introduced species as those from other continents, but wildlife introduced from one area of North America to another can become genuine problems too. Last time I talked about the problems introduced red squirrels have caused for some non-migratory red crossbills, problems that had nothing to do with the squirrels actually devouring the birds. It turns out that another species introduced here and there for the best of reasons is outright devouring some of our most beloved birds. Gardeners who want to control insect pests effectively while causing the least amount of ecological harm often purchase ladybugs or praying mantises to eat the pests. The gardeners, of course, feel virtuous about this because it is a safer alternative to insecticides. Unfortunately, a new study in the Wilson Journal of Ornithology suggests that releasing praying mantises and attracting hummingbirds are at dangerous cross purposes. The authors reviewed 147 documented incidents of mantids capturing small birds in 13 different countries on all continents except Antarctica. They found records of predation on hummingbirds and a variety of small songbirds. In these attacks, 78% of the birds were killed and eaten by the mantids, 2% escaped on their own, and 18% were freed by humans. More than 70% of the incidents happened in the United States, and most often to ruby-throated hummingbirds. They involved both native and non-native praying mantises. The researchers suggested caution in the use of large-sized mantids, particularly non-native ones, in gardens for insect pest control. I think that's certainly prudent, especially in flower gardens that attract hummingbirds. Also, many of the attacks documented in the study took place at hummingbird feeders, so it seems wise for gardeners who use mantises not to set out death traps in the form of feeders. 3 years ago, I was disturbed about a new book with an entire chapter based on a ridiculous study from 1985 claiming that hummingbirds have no natural predators. There were plenty of documented cases of predation on them, some by praying mantises. Now it's all too easy to see graphic proof of this on social media. Insecticides are a much greater problem for hummingbird individuals and populations than mantises are. But as fascinating and even cute as praying mantises are, I prefer letting my own flowers take their chances with the bugs. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.